So does the personality come from the brain or does it come from the mind? See, the personality originally comes from the soul. The source of consciousness and the source of personality, that is the soul. The soul at present is covered by the mind, which is the subtle body primarily, and then there is the gross body. The gross body is what we see. And both of these shape the behavior, shape the existence of the soul over here. So, if we consider, say, a virtual reality game. Now, there are different people playing different games. So, in a particular game, somebody might become a warrior, maybe an Air Force fighter. Somebody else in another virtual reality game might become a police who is chasing some thieves. Somebody else in another virtual reality game might become a baseball player. So now, depending on what particular game is being played, they will have the appropriate contraptions will be there, appropriate things will be there by which the person will enter into that experience. So like that, around the soul, there is the mind and the body. The mind and the body act as the interface between the soul and the world. And depending on the kind of desires that we have, the soul acquires a particular kind of body and mind. And the present personality, our personality, the spiritual personality is almost subdued. So right now, who we are is shaped largely by our mind and secondarily by our body. So the brain is simply the tool for consciousness to process, to function in the body. Just like, say, if I have to speak, I need this throat and this tongue. So for it's a tool for that function. Similarly for the function of information processing, the brain is the tool. Brain is the physical tool. So we could say, the mind is like the software, the brain is like the CPU, the central processing unit of a computer. So it's important, but that is not this. The computer may have a CPU, but if there's no user, there's no software, the computer cannot function. So the soul and the mind, they are primarily required. The brain is simply the physical instrument. There is this physicist, John Lorber, neurophysicist actually. He's written an article in Science called, "Is Your Brain Really Necessary?" And what does this mean? There is a peculiar malady called hydroencephaly. Hydroencephaly means, hydro is water. Encephaly refers to the brain. So since sometimes some people, their cranial cavity, the brain cavity is, normally our brain is surrounded by fluid. But in some children, it has been found that their brain is filled with fluid. Their brain cranial cavity is filled with fluid. So if there is excessive water in it, there are some cases where the whole cranial cavity had less than 1% of brain substance, whether it's gray matter or white matter. And there have been dozens of people like this. So these people have no brain at all, practically speaking, physically speaking. And yet they function perfectly well. In fact, he was in the University of Sheffield, there was a student who actually did a PhD in mathematics, and he had a large brain. And he's a very brilliant student. So Lorber writes about this in his book. So he says, I asked him, as just a matter of routine inquiry, told him, do a brain scan. You know, you are very brilliant in maths. So they wanted to check his brain. They found he had no brain at all. You know, you send the light in from here, light comes out. I was giving a metaphorical example here. So he had no brain at all. And yet he is functioning perfectly well. So how is that? That means that the capacity to function does not depend on the brain. Usually the brain is the tool by which we function, but the capacity itself does not come from the brain. So in exceptional situations, the soul can function directly with the body. So the brain is the tool, and because the mind goes from one body to the next body, so whatever personality we acquire in this life, that will go on to the next life. So, and this is evident even especially in the case of what is called monozygotic twins. You know, normally when twins are born, there are two ways in which they are born. One is the semen and the egg, they twice unite, and then there are two zygotes that are formed, and then two embryos grow from that. So in this case, because two different semen have come in, so there is some genetic difference between the two twins. But there is something called monozygotic twins. Monozygotic twins means one semen enters into the womb, unites with the egg, and during normal reproduction, instead of the egg simply growing, the egg bifurcates into two. And then two twins grow. Now when this happens, the two twins are genetically not just similar, they are identical. 100% identical. And although they are 100% identical, still the two monozygotic twins also have their distinct personality. Each of them is an individual. One of them may be introvert, another may be an extrovert. One person may be very expressive, one person may be expressive, the other person may be very silent, whatever it is. So where, if our personality were biologically determined, were genetically determined, then if the genes are identical, then the personality should also be identical. But even when the genes are identical, the personality is different. That means that there is the source of our personality transcends our genetic makeup. Does that address your question?
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?